The views expressed on this show by guests and the hosts on issues outside of the 9/11 controlled demolition evidence are the opinions of those individuals alone and do not necessarily reflect those of our participants in New York's 9/11 truth.
Welcome to 9/11 Freefall. I'm the host, Andy Steele. Today we're joined by Kat McGuire. She's a truth activist and writer in New York City. In the past, she has produced panel discussions on 9/11 and other crimes against democracy at the Left Forum. Currently, she is working with a local group she helped organize to speak out against COVID policies on masks, lockdowns, and COVID vaccines, as well as the Great Reset. She recently began co-hosting with Kevin Barrett False Flag Weekly News, the first Saturdays of the month. Very interesting stuff there. Kat, welcome to 9/11 Freefall.
Hey, Andy. Hi. Glad to be here.
So this is a standard question I ask every guest on the show. I've said it before so many times. This is not only a show for activists, but I consider it an oral history of everything the people of this country did to get justice on this important issue. Where were you on 9/11 when you heard the news of what was happening? And then also tell us, how did you wake up to the evidence of what really happened on that day?
I was jogging in Central Park, and I went to my local juice place, and he said, oh, terrorists have attacked. And to me, that sounded utterly cartoonish. These terrorists are just these false cartoon characters that they make. And then I saw that it was true, and I bicycled down to take a look. And it was kind of astonishing, but somebody said gas leak. So I hurried up and biked back uptown. So that's where I was, in New York City. And I actually went down. I was about a block away from Ground Zero. And then I hurried away when I got the picture. This is a big accident here happening. So I actually saw it with my own eyes, even though I wasn't deeply embedded there. As far as getting a consciousness about it, that took about 10 years. Now, I knew that you can't go around occupying countries and establishing terror schools and not get some kind of blowback. It's going to come back to you, karmic blowback. So I knew we were wrong somewhere, but the whole concept of an inside job is like, it just went right past me. I have been a leftist since I was teething. And our leftist leaders were saying that's not about anything. Noam Chomsky didn't say to go there. Amy Goodman didn't say to go there. Everybody I was reading, nobody went there. So I was a loyal leftist, and I never went there. Never thought to even look into it because it sounded so stupid. But my sister happened to have an accident, and she was in a wheelchair for a winter. And she just started looking around, and we just started looking, and it wasn't until about 2010 that I got consciousness about 9/11, but it didn't take long. Once I did, you burrow in, there was still enough, there's quite a bit of information there if one wants to look, and now I'm a complete truther, and I've gone above and beyond 9/11, looking at all the false flags, and more importantly, going back into history at all the hidden history that has been concealed from us. Back World War I, World War II, the Cold War, and even before all of that, but mostly in the past century, looking as a truther for what was really going on to bring us to where we're at now.
Yeah, it's fascinating, the hidden history. And it's not even the stuff that's disputed. It's the stuff that is acknowledged but not acknowledged. Like one instance that I use is the business plot, you know, the plot to overthrow Franklin Roosevelt during his term in office. I believe that there was some upset among American business owners over some policies that he had, and they had this whole plot. They're going to use Smedley Butler to overthrow him, but he was a true patriot, and he went to the Congress, blew the lid off the whole thing, and Prescott Bush was wrapped up in that, and that's something that we don't hear about now, as they are now trying to celebrate George Bush more in the media as a former president overlooking the crimes that he committed during his term in office, but they don't bring up the fact that his grandfather actually wanted to overthrow the government himself, and I believe they looked to establish a fascist government. And this isn't something that's in dispute. I'm not just throwing out conspiracy theories. It's out there. It just isn't talked about very much, so you don't even have to get into things that are debatable among people, because there's things that go on that they just kind of leave out of the history books that I think are incredibly important.
I'm very familiar with what you were talking about, yeah, because they're constantly trying to tell us about these fascist overthrows. We've got so much right-wing domestic violence that it's not just starting now. They have a whole history of going after people for what they deem as fascist domestic violence. So where I think this whole thing is going right now for the current domestic violence is that it's building on 9/11 very easily. What happened at the Capitol that they're calling this insurrection, that could not have happened had they already not created, planted seeds in the public that there are terrorists. The terrorists before were out there. That's why we needed Patriot Act 1.0. That's why we had to have these wars. But what they're doing now is based on more false flags, the whole false flag of the Capitol riots, now they're bringing the terrorists home. And they're going to build on pre-existing right-wing domestic terrorists, everything from Ruby Ridge to Waco, and even on some level, the roots of 9/11, because anybody who is a truther at that time, they may not have been involved in 9/11 from the official government perspective, but they are painted with a broad brushstroke of being sort of like the domestic terrorists as well. So it started with 9/11, and now we see it coming out as they're going after all domestic terrorists. John Brennan gets on the air on MSNBC and says that law enforcement is moving in laser-like fashion to combat an unholy alliance of authoritarians, fascists, bigots, racists, nativists, and even libertarians, he says. So they're bringing out the big guns for something they've been wanting to do for a long time. And so what we're seeing is they're about ready to put in a Patriot Act 2.0 that's going to make the first one look like kindergarten rules. And eventually they're going to start zeroing in on 9/11 people, I believe, 9/11 truthers, because that's going against the official story. So it's a very dangerous time for us right now of how they've used this false flag that happened at the Capitol, calling it riots as opposed to a protest, and not acknowledging that a very, very, very infinitesimal amount of people were actually in the Capitol. And of those, most of them were law-abiding Trump supporters who stood behind the velvet ropes and took selfies and weren't doing an insurrection or riot at all. And then there were the Antifa, their special forces, if you will, of the Antifa, who came in dressed as Trump people and agents provocateurs to create the violence ready-made for the television cameras. So what we have is this strange inversion of a million supporters there, at least half a million at the Capitol, over a million at the rally beforehand where Trump spoke, who never even tried to siege or go in, were perfectly content outside to do chanting, and we were there to watch the vote. That's why I was there, for the ballots. I'm not a Trump supporter at all. But everybody outside got reduced to the infinitesimally small amount of people inside, and of that, the agents provocateur who were fomenting violence. And the fact that the police had stood down, it was like just waiting for it to be set up. There were professional photographers there. ready to take all the shots. But what happened inside was extended to the people outside who had nothing to do with any kind of violence, but as if we were all violent, I was there. And then that extends to the 70 or 80 million people who in turn are violent insurrectionist white supremacists who, as Brennan said, are fascists, and we need to go after them. So it's a very dangerous time when you start extending these kind of labels to a whole class of people, practically half of America almost. And sooner or later, that's definitely going to come to 9/11, because they're already, the New York Times already asked for a 9/11 commission for domestic extremism. They're coming after 9/11 people, and it's just very dangerous right now, coupled with not only who they're targeting, but the extreme censorship going on so that American people cannot hear two fully weighted equal sides as if you were in a jury. We're only getting, it's not even 90-10%. We're getting about 95 to 98% of the mainstream media is touting this propaganda that most Americans are domestic terrorists. They have that in them. So who else? Who knows what else they're going to go after? And getting people to turn in their parents. There's one guy who got a GoFundMe full of applause, people paying him up to $100,000, that he turned in his father. This is very ugly. It has all of the semblance of the Bolshevik Revolution 2.0. And that sounds very strange, perhaps, but there was actually a coup that happened in this country. And it was started to be planned in June, and it's called the Transition Integrity Project. And it was spearheaded by Democrats. It's all in paper. You can find it. Whitney Webb has done some excellent work explaining it. She has a video in which she breaks down the Capitol and the ghosts of the DHS, Department of Homeland Security, past and future. And she has broken down the whole coup d'etat that the Democrats actually planned. And a key, there were many key tactics that they planned, in addition to the ability to do mail-in ballots based on the COVID excuse. That was a fraud waiting to happen. And in their plan, the Transition Integrity Project, the plan called for more mass censorship of alternative voices that challenge the dominant narrative. It called for continued whipping the public into a froth of Trump is Hitler, fascists are everywhere, we have to defend our country. And the main thing that has come to pass is to convince as many people as possible that Trump was planning a coup, when in reality, it was this group that literally was planning a coup that has now happened. Because I fully believe these elections were extremely hijacked, and they have never really been tested in the courts. They were thrown out on procedural grounds, never on the merits of the forensic evidence. There were over 1,000 eyewitnesses who never got to speak in the courts. Everything that went to the courts was thrown out, never based on the actual merits of people who had things to say, or the forensic evidence of the voting machine frauds with Dominion, of people taking blank ballots. There are videos of people taking blank ballots and just filling them out in the middle of the night. So I really believe that, I feel extremely positive that I know that there was a coup d'etat. They said it, and they did it, and they did it using the exact methods that they say we're going to do. Check, 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 check. And so now we're in a very difficult place where people who thought they were ridding the country of fascism were about to face some of the most extreme fascism this country has ever known, and the fact that Washington, D.C. is in marital law right now, martial law, marital, oh goodness, bad marriage going on here, martial law right now, is there was no need. There was no uprising by these right-wing extremists. It's all a trope, and many people seem to believe it. So I'll rest here if you want to say some stuff. I have a whole lot more to say.
I agree with you 100%. Now, I always feel this obligation, even though we have a disclaimer at the beginning of the show, to say this is, we're talking for ourselves here. AE911 Truth itself doesn't get into these issues, but I see the ramifications for 9/11 Truth coming from everything that's going on here, and I agree with your analysis on this entire situation. And again, Kat is not even a Trump supporter, but these people who are calling for this cancel culture, this idea that just because somebody is a supporter of the president or doesn't have the same political views that you do, that they should all be boycotted, that their businesses should be shut down, that they're not allowed to be on these platforms that are supposed to be neutral. That is the thing. And you know, there's people out there who don't know how free speech works. I mean, if somebody's got their own press, like for instance 9/11 Freefall here, I mean, I have every right not to bring on people to regurgitate the official story. There's plenty of mainstream media out there to do that. Or if somebody's out there attacking me because they got some issue over something, you know, I have every right not to associate with that. Those people have a right, though, to start their own press. And all I ask is, you know, spell my name right if you're criticizing me, because sometimes people leave the E off the end. It's annoying. But they have every right to do that with their own press, and I have the right to do it with my press. But if you have something that's supposed to be available out there neutrally, I mean, they may make some legal argument for it, but just because something is legal doesn't mean it's necessarily the right thing to do or that it's good for the country. This whole attitude that is spreading throughout this country right now is so un-American. The idea that you have to shut down anybody that disagrees with you. In this case, they're talking about half the country here. And even this idea that we're not supposed to reach out to that half of the country, that if you're associated with it in any way, honestly, I haven't seen anything that constitutes fascism or any of the other isms that they've attributed to it. This idea that you're not supposed to reach out to them, why wouldn't you? I mean, there was a period in time, your co-host, Kevin Barrett, went on Fox News at one point. Now, you know, by that logic, he shouldn't be going on Fox News because it was promoting empire and the entire war of terror that was going on. But why wouldn't you want to reach those viewers and try to get into their minds and perhaps change them? That's the whole essence of what we do here in the movement. So this is a very dangerous attitude. I don't think people actually know what they're doing or what they're getting behind when they support these kinds of actions. And we need to be guided by principle, not ideology, like you are, Kat.
Exactly. That's exactly what's going on. Instead of being reasonable and looking at the forensic evidence, looking at facts, people are being driven by an ideological agenda. And I don't even think they're aware of it. We're in the midst of very bad McCarthyism right now, McCarthyism 2.0, that if we think back, those of us who have read about it or lived through it, of what McCarthyism looked like, there was it was an irrational witch hunt, like Salem witch hunt. It was that crazy. And this has been happening for a while now. This is this binary way of thinking. You're either with us or against us. And I have to say, I am most upset with the liberal left. As I said, I've been a leftist all of my life. But when I started looking at 9/11, the left wouldn't go down that path. So I had to break free into different terrain that was kind of scary. I was looking at libertarian websites. I never would have looked at them. But if I wanted to get some gems of what was going on, that's where I had to go. In our climate today, this binary McCarthyism of if you at all say Trump did anything good, or if you at all say that those weren't riots that actually happened, then you are part of the domestic terrorism. It's an extreme binaryism. And there's a very, very good, I don't know if he'd call himself a philosopher, a political analyst, but a man named James Lindsay has done exceptional work with understanding woke culture, which basically comes from Frankfurt School. It has to do with political identity. And that is a very strong weapon that they have been using to get people to dichotomize their way of thinking. I kind of call it like a neutron bomb. I know this sounds scary or crazy, but this is my little theory, and that is a neutron bomb is something that they made back in the 70s. I don't think they ever used it. It's a nuclear war tip. And so when it lands somewhere, it destroys all living life, the people, the animals, but the buildings and the infrastructure are left intact for use. Well, somehow I feel that a neutron bomb has hit many of our liberal left people, because almost uniformly, what has happened to them mentally is that just like the buildings and the infrastructure are still intact for use, you'll get PhDs who can still write dissertations. You can get economists who can analyze spreadsheets. People can read books critically. But when it comes to common sense, rational thinking, non-binary, let's look at all the facts, it's like they've been hit with a neutron bomb of the mind, because it doesn't make any rational sense what people are doing. Our left people who are opposed to free speech, not wanting to cancel so that they don't have to hear you, not allowing other people's voices. Wouldn't you want to hear a plurality of opinions and then make your own critical thinking decision? But that's not happening. And it's beyond that. I've seen people who are at PhD levels whipped into a total mania of domestic terrorists are everywhere and they're white supremacists. And much of that is on the political correctness that has been imbued in our universities. So we have whole generations of young people have been in the re-education camps, just like in communist China during Mao's Cultural Revolution. Our re-education camps are in the universities now that are just hotbeds of this political correctness, wrong think. I highly, highly recommend people listen to James Lindsay's, it's a recent podcast on Leninism 4.0 on Epoch Times, E-P-O-C-H, Epoch Times. It's extremely good because he talks about what's happening right now, how we can call just normal regular Americans, 70, 80 to million of them, as domestic terrorists. It just doesn't make any sense that even though they might not have gone after yet, the vast number of Americans, they soon will. They're going for the low-hanging fruit right now, who is at the Capitol. But by extension, just as during the whole Black Lives Matter, well, that's still going on. The white privilege that they're using, all of this is to break down our society. And on some level, the propaganda is almost like a fourth-gen asymmetrical warfare weapon. Just as they no longer have just guns and tanks, they now have nuclear warheads, super military powers that we probably don't even know about all of them. So too, for the extremely important warfare, the warfare on the occupation of our minds, they have extremely sophisticated weaponry that we barely know about. And so I feel that neutron bomb theory of mine might not be all that wacko when you consider their ability with 5G and satellites to use big data where they have everybody's address and location to be able to pinpoint whoever they want. I know that sounds whacked out, but who knows what 21st century technology can do now. And we know that the propaganda war is just as important as a war on the actual field, because we have been hit with five different derangement syndromes, especially in the past year. It started with Trump derangement syndrome, where you saw people saying the most outlandish things, believing the craziest stuff. That we never saw anything like Nazi concentration camps in this country. The censorship, that never happened. But there was this extreme manic belief that Trump was going to bring this all in, and anybody who believed it was likewise a straight-up goose-stepping neo-Nazi fascist. Just extreme deranged. And from that, the COVID derangement syndrome went right in. I'm not going to go off on COVID right now, but clearly it's a plandemic. And their numbers are jiggered. I don't know which numbers are more jiggered, the COVID numbers or the election fraud numbers. The next derangement syndrome we got was the woke derangement syndrome, where we had peaceful protesters and no mention was made of where real riots were happening, actual property damage. It was surreal what was happening, and all of the canceling of people, if you say all lives matter. So that's a derangement syndrome that has taken over. Then we had the fraudulent election syndrome, that people actually believed that Biden was elected fair and square. I fully believe from all of the studies that I have done, it's just unbelievable the order of magnitude of election fraud that happened. Now, granted, we've always had fraud, but this was so over the top as to seriously endanger our democracy, and it has. It led right into the exact coup d'etat that they were planning, because you had to have mail-in ballots to support that. I believe, based on all of the examples that I've seen of the election fraud from computer to actual people to press misinformation from the media, that Trump actually won by a landslide, I would say by two-thirds vote, and Biden only got one-third. That's my non-official opinion. And then after that, we have the whole Capitol riots derangement syndrome that is now spreading out like an ugly virus. This is the bad virus. All these derangement syndromes, those are the viruses. That's the pandemic that we have. And it is hardly being questioned. I honor Tulsi Gabbard for speaking out loud and saying, this is really dangerous. It looks like we have martial law in Washington. They're about ready to put in the Patriot Act 2.0. And I'm just extremely grateful that we have people who are not binary. I'm no longer left, but that doesn't mean I'm Trump supporter right. I am an independent transpartisan who wants to take the best of the left and the right, because I'm still highly progressive. But there's a lot the left is leaving behind because they're in these derangement syndromes. Take the best and leave the rot behind. And that's what we have to do to move toward how the bigger issue beyond these internecine warfares is the meta narrative and the meta battle that's going on. And that is the Great Reset. That is our real battle, because it's global. It's a global coup d'etat. Team Biden is 100% down with the Great Reset. At least with Trump, he wasn't a globalist. He was a nationalist, and all of the so-called deplorables, which I would call proto-yellow vests, all of them had a nationalist point of view that basically saw my country and not to some kind of central command. And that's why I say it's a Bolshevism 2.0 revolution they're trying to do. But we're not only getting totalitarianism, we're getting fascism. They're throwing the whole pot at us, going full speed ahead, pedal to the metal for all they can throw at us, boiling all the frogs at once to push us fully into this brave new world order, great reset that is being sold to us in flowery language, that it's sustainable equality for all, when in reality what we're looking at is a very ugly dystopia if we don't wake up and get out from under this mind control that they have over half the nation.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. And it doesn't matter what your political views are. I don't want everyone to agree. I think that would be a very boring world to live in. And, I mean, what we were founded on was the idea that you could be yourself and be free to express yourself in this country. And we see that being eroded. Not even just eroded. I mean, it's being just destroyed at free fall acceleration in this country in a very short amount of time. And it will come back on 9/11 truth. You don't think that this is going to spin around and claim 9/11 truth and all the information out there, all the censorship? You got to be kidding me. Of course it will. It's probably designed to in a certain way, or at least as part of what's going on here. So we need to stand up against it, and you got to defend the rights of the person that's on the opposite side of you. That's just common sense. So, because if that person doesn't have his speech, neither do you. And I always remember there was an Iranian Uber driver talking about his times that he spent fleeing the country during the 79 revolution. I think it was 79. And he said, it's very dangerous when people get too obsessed with their own beliefs. Now, when I say that, I'm not saying don't be passionate about what you believe, don't try to advocate for it, but don't let it kill a part of you that just completely erases your common sense and your humanity and lets you lose sight of what the bigger picture is, because that's how we end up with great tragedies throughout history. And to watch this country completely fall to this would be one of the biggest tragedies, in my opinion. So don't get too obsessed, and just be human before being anything else. Kat, I know you got a lot to say about this, and it's a great listening to you. It's very fascinating. People need to check out False Flag Weekly News. I'm sure they can get more of your insight. So please do that. And thank you so much for coming on 9/11 Free Fall today.
You're welcome. I would just like to say one final thing is that there are a lot of people who have these derangement syndromes in the 9/11 truth movement itself. It's suicidal, and they don't realize it. I'm not going to name names, but we're living Cass Sunstein's wet dream right now. And people in the 9/11 truth movement need to wake up and stop talking about domestic terrorists, because they're going to come after them first. Thank you.
This program is on every Thursday night on No Lies Radio at 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific, and every other Sunday night on BBS Radio at 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific. You can also keep track of the archives by going to 911freefall.com. This is Andy Steele. Have a great week. Good luck.